I mean, we can't live, we don't know how to walk without a reference point called the Bible. Somebody say yes. So we say with passion, yes. We can't, this is the, you know, your word is a light to my path. Remember that? So this is how we walk. This is, so to have instruction. And then we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that wrote this, you know. I know Peter wrote it and Paul wrote it and Moses wrote it, but really God wrote it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. And the same Holy Spirit that wrote it is the same Holy Spirit that's here right now. And if you've met Jesus, if you've received Jesus and he's alive in your heart, then it's the same Holy Spirit that's inside of you. And he will make living and he will make real and he will reveal to you what he meant. So sometimes I'll do the best that I can this morning and I hope it's okay. But I know this, that my trust is in God, that he is speaking to our hearts and touching our hearts. And sometimes the things that the preacher or the minister or whatever might say in passing ends up being the most powerful thing. That's why we just took a moment to dedicate everything to the Holy Spirit, because I love you and I want your life to flourish and I want you to hear from God. So we're talking this morning about the full armor of God. It's going to be fun. And we're going to get through as much of it as we can. We're into February. So welcome to February, everybody. Yeah. Give somebody next to you a high five. Say, this is going to be my best February. January was fun. January, we talked about a few important things and we focused and we tend to kind of run with a theme or a primary thing we feel the Holy Spirit is putting on our hearts for a month or so, generally speaking. And so we spoke a lot last month really about preparing for 2017 and the word of the Lord for us, just change and breakthrough. Do you remember that at all? It was just last month. How many remember? Everyone say breakthrough. God is a God of the breakthrough. It's one of the names of God in the Old Testament. And so we talked a little bit about finding God. We talked about spiritual warfare, and that was like just 2-3 weeks ago we introduced that, and I'm going to pick up from where we were. We talked about, for instance, one of the most important things, because spiritual warfare is a reality, and it's important. And I guess, you know, what Carrie and I try very hard to do is give people a really healthy mixed diet of, because you need a mixed diet of truth. That's sometimes why we have other ministers and guests come in and other people come in, because there's a singular vision, there's a unity of spirit that is necessary in any church, in any house, in any family. If you've got disunity and the kids are rebelling against the parents, it's just not going to be a happy place to be, and people will not be able to fulfill their destiny and their calling. And it's exactly the same with the church. So you have a sense of unity. You have to catch the heart of the vision that God has placed in this place. But then you've also got diversity within that. And so it's great to have Rory here and family and friends. We caught up during the week and a mutual friend of ours, Richard Fidge, who came and ministered to us. And I think we'll get him back. Did you enjoy having Richard here? He's just a good guy. And it's just good to have people that have different grace and different gift on their life. And for us, for Carrie and I, as kind of the senior leaders, to feed people with truth that helps them to flourish. And so, you know, balanced is good. Now, in my house, a balanced diet, if Caroline's cooking, will consist almost always of vegetables. And so, you know, I have to bring in some meat from time to time just to balance it out. And no, she's very healthy. She's very healthy and fit, and we eat well, and I'm blessed, and thank God for it. And but we want to talk, see, about this area. Now, some people have spent the last 10 years, and all they do is talk about spiritual warfare. Everything that goes wrong is a demon that's attacking them. And, you know, common sense will tell you that there's just something a little out of whack about that. T.L. Osborne used to say that most people have good common sense until they get religious. And there seems to be some truth in that. Sometimes we just believe the wackiest things. But the truth is, and we're going to talk about it today, that there is a war that goes on over our souls and our spirits and our destinies. And as we move forward in life, as we look to make every day, every week, every year a magnificent year, it isn't the same every year. Our pear tree out the back doesn't produce the same amount of fruit every year. Last year was a good year. The quince had a very good year. The years, 2 years before that, the quince was very quiet. And so, you know, different seasons have different hallmarks. But right now we're in a season where I want to equip you, because if we're going to break through and if we're going to move forward, you are going to run into opposition. And so that's what we want to talk about. And we talked a little bit about it a few weeks ago, and the podcast will be available. But I'm just going to go through a few slides here that'll help us to understand, because I want to focus particularly on the area of spiritual warfare. How many have ever heard that term before, spiritual warfare? I think a lot of people will have heard it. Just wave at me so I can say, just exercise your arm if nothing else. Yeah, there you go. Good. And so spiritual warfare, but there's been some misunderstanding about that. I've done a fair bit of research and reading on different things, and there are some things that we kind of tacitly acknowledge in large parts of the body of Christ that really don't have a lot of biblical foundation. So I want us to talk about that, because the deal is, if we're in a war, then we've got an enemy, and if we're wearing the armor that God's given us, then we should be winning. In fact, the Roman soldier that was the model for what Paul wrote on was dressed to kill. And so if you're getting a little smacked around the head and a little slaughtered and a little, you know, defeated and going a little under here, then this is a pretty good topic to get a hold of, because it's not the norm for your life. Challenges are the norm, but victory is the norm. And we have to learn how to do that. That doesn't happen, just like kids don't grow up and you just, you know, feed them and you've got to nurture them and this is how you walk, and first 15 times the bike falls over and then, you know, and eventually they'll get to ride a bike and then one day they could be the Olympic champion. But if you didn't take that time and help them walk, and it's exactly the same. We've got to learn how to work with some of this stuff. So let's have a look at this. Here's our enemy to start off with. Paul, it's Peter writing to the church, and he says, listen, you guys, be alert and of sober mind. So it's good to have fun, but don't clown around all the time. In life, there's got to be some soberness. You've got to think carefully about where your life's going, because your enemy, the devil, who's your enemy? Right, so there's an enemy, and he's called the devil. He's a very, very nasty person. And we won't go into it anymore, but he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He would love to devour you. He would love to ruin your life. He would take your life in a moment of time, take you to hell in a moment of time, no apology, no question, if he could. He'd hit the lot of you with cancer and every kind of problem if he could. Now, sometimes when we say that word, you know, they used to call it the C word, because it's a very real thing. It's been in my family as well. But we can't afford to be fearful of things. We've got to build some solid faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain to you what the devil's like. He has some power, but he doesn't really have that much authority, because if he could, none of us would be here this morning. However, there's about 30-odd thousand people that are not in this door, not in this building. And if you can bring the people, we will get the building, because this gospel is not just for us, it's for all those people out there. Thousands of them. Thousands of them. And they're beautiful and they're precious to God, and Jesus died for them. And we are the people that are called and anointed to bring his message to them. But sometimes it's good to make sure that our life is solid and strong and we're winning our battles. Otherwise, we go out there, you know, kind of crippled like this. Oh, be a Christian with me, you know. Get your life kind of head kicked in by the... No. We've got a bit, and that's part, it's a really important part of our spirit, our core values here, is that spirit of positive victory. So you've got a roaring lion. He's looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Another version says, standing firm in your faith. So who resists the devil? Say it again. You resist him. See, some people say, they pray like this. They say, God, could you do something about the devil? You ever prayed like that? Most Christians I know pray like that. You know that God can't do anything about the devil anymore? Because he's already done everything he can do. He defeated him. He stripped him of all his authority. He took it away, and he empowered us with his authority so we go and enforce the victory that's already been won. So, you know, the first thing that some people get is it isn't going to work well for you. If you're a young Christian and you're new, God will always help you. But as we grow, you've got to understand that God imparts authority to us. You resist the devil. The devil will come against you. You resist him. No, you're not doing that. No, you're not influencing my family. No, you're not stealing my money. No, I'm not going to embrace that bad attitude. No, I'm not going to... I'm not. Yeah, but, you know, those people don't like you. They're talking behind your back, you know. You should really leave. You should really do this. You should get angry. You should get those people back. No, I'm not doing that. He'll always try and whisper all that stuff. And you've got an enemy, but you resist him. You just say no. Everyone say no.
No.
Just a good word. Now, there's certain circumstances. We'll talk about it next week. Circumstances you don't want to say no in. But there are others where you need to learn to say no and not be afraid to say no. Let's go here. This is our main kind of passage that we're looking at. It's pretty famous. Ephesians 6:10-13. Let's run through it together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. You've got to put it on, and it's armor. I've got a couple of pictures to show you in a minute. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, strategies or wiles. So most of what the devil does is scheme against you, is strategic, he's wily like a fox. He hasn't got authority, he'll try and make you believe things that aren't true because you've got the authority over your own life. For example, God said you're incredibly precious. We're going to talk about the armor of God and this breastplate of righteousness, which God has given you, which you have. You are righteous. But the devil will come in and say, well, you see how you let slip that four-letter word? And you know how, well, I know it was years ago, but you know how you kind of cheated on your tax? And you know how you kind of, you know, when you're tithing, you're just kind of pulling this out and that out, and you're kind of saying, well, I serve the church, you know, 1 hour a week, so I'll charge the church £20. I'll take it out of my... And all those little tricky things... The devil just tries to hoodwink you with wily little schemes. Oh, I mean, it's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing. I say this to people all the time, and I mean it from my heart. If I haven't offended you yet, just hang around for a little while, because I'm bound to. And there's two reasons for that. One is that I'm not perfect, and the other is that you're not perfect. But here's what the devil will do, you see. What God wants to see is unity all the way through Scripture. So the devil will always work to divide. It's one of the things that God does not like, division. But God will always work on unity. So he will try and find a reason. So I've had people say this to me, you know, you're nice to them. You're as nice as you can be. I'm as nice as I can be. Lester Sumrall said years ago, it doesn't matter how nice you are, some people don't know you're nice. Anyone ever found that out? And then he said, and the thing he learned as a young man was that other people's heads is not the place for your happiness. If you worry all the time about what everyone else thinks about you, you will never make much forward progress. You've got to build value in who you are. So God says you're righteous, but the devil will come in and say, well, yes, you did that wrong and you did that wrong. Or somebody will come in and I will be focused on something else or doing something else or trying to straighten a little screen there, and we worked very hard on that this morning and whatever. Things like that happen. It's all good. And then I find out like 6 months later that they were very offended because I ignored them. I didn't say hello to them. Well, what can you say? I'm doing my very best. I'm sorry. Hello, everybody. Hello. But here's the thing, you see. Stuff happens in life. And what you've got to be able to do is recognize the difference between what's just life and what's the devil whispering in your ear with a wily little scheme, they don't really like me. Because if he can create distrust towards God or towards other believers, other people, then he's got a victory. So it's not really a show of brute force. It is a wily little scheme. But you've got to put on this full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, and there's the Greek, I told you that last time, it's palai, I think they say. Some versions say struggle, some say wrestle. Wrestle's the better word. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against rulers, number one. Number two, go up a level, the authorities. Number three, powers of dark world. Number four, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's outside of this. That's outside of this planet's thing, but that doesn't matter. Basically, there is four levels of demonic force that we are wrestling against. See that? And the word wrestle just means wrestle, hand-to-hand combat. I like it. We liked it last time we looked at it. A wrestling bout decided when the victor is able to hold down the prostrate opponent hard on the neck. Now, Owen offered to volunteer for me to demonstrate this with him. But you get the picture. It's a wrestle, and the idea, and you might not be on top all the time. And that's how it feels. But what you've got to recognize is that you've got the authority. You've got to keep this armor on because the victory is guaranteed to you. But there's a wrestling process. It's fight the good fight of faith. Do you remember Paul said that?
Yeah.
It's a fight. And the good thing about it is it's a good fight because if you fight, you'll win. But you have to fight with your armor on. Running into battle naked, you're going to get taken to pieces. And tragically and unnecessarily, some Christians get taken to pieces. They really do, but they don't have to anymore. Let's help them. Let's learn. Let's help them. Because sometimes their life is all shot to pieces. This, their relationships are all shot. They feel like God's called them to something, but they don't know what it is. Their finances don't work. You know, their people don't like them. They lost their job. And things go wrong. I know things go wrong. Lots of things go wrong. But sometimes when your life is just shot, you've got to come to a place where you can get this armor on your life. That's what it's there for. Paul's writing to the church, and at the beginning you see he says, finally, he gives them all these instructions. Ephesians may be the richest, book of the Bible in terms of revelation of who we are and what we have in Christ. And at the end, finally, he says, guys, got to be strong. Put this armor on. Against these rulers, therefore put on the full armor of God. And I'm just comparing two versions here so you see this. I wanted to draw your attention to this quickly. Ephesians 6:12, that's the UK NIV version and then the English Standard Version. Just those four levels. You'll see in the ESV at the bottom, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, same word, authorities, same word, cosmic powers over this present darkness. That's a different way of expressing the same Greek thought. And then spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So again, we just need to realize what we're wrestling against. There's a devil behind all that, but there are people, demons that are strategically sent to try and upset you. Let's have a look here at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. This is another reference. This book, Thessalonians, probably the first one that Paul wrote. And in the early part of his ministry, earlier, he's writing to this young church. And he says, since we belong to the day, let's be sober. Same thought. And put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. He doesn't go into any further detail there. He goes into further detail in Ephesians. It may well be that he just got more revelation as further on in his life. It could be that. But certainly there's similarity in we see that faith and love is a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Warning. If you want to go forward in God, you've got to expect challenges. Really want you to understand that. Carrie and I live this out. We're thankful for the Apostle Paul because when you read his story and you see all the shots he took, it's a lot more shots than we take. But the truth is that if you want to make a difference for the kingdom, you're going to take some shots. It's a war. And the more impact you are having for Jesus and his kingdom, the more attention you get from the enemy. So that's why the Bible tells you, and you want to hear this bit, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Pray for your leaders. Because your destiny in God is tied to our destiny in God. Because if we're called to do this, which we are, and you're called in this family, then when we pray for you during the week and get revelation, what we're getting is going to help equip you for success. You won't. God never intended for you to become everything you're going to be in God just by your own private little prayer time, and you're supposed to be part of a family. If you're a lung and you're bringing breath, then you've got to connect with somebody else's lung or somebody's rib cage or be in a body. And it's got to be a meaningful connection. But it's also important, so you contribute, obviously every part contributes, but what's important to understand too is that if you feel like you're taking shots, anyone further ahead in the march against evil and for God is taking more shots than you are. So don't forget, there they go. I know that. That's all right. That is my parents-in-law phone signal on her phone. So I thought it was her. I thought, it's David and Juliet saying hello. Leave them on, switch it on and take a little bit of FaceTime and it'll say hello to them as well. So you've got to understand that. You don't want to be phobic. You don't want to feel like, oh, no. But you do need to understand that there's a war and that there's somebody set against you. And if we're wise and smart, put on our armor, we can win every time. But part of our winning is just being around other people in the body of Christ. Isolation is the King James version of the book of Proverbs. It says, he who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. It's just never a good idea to isolate yourself. And usually when people get damaged, for whatever reason, that's their tendency to isolate. And I'm working with some members of my extended family that I love very dearly. But some of them have isolated themselves because of things that haven't gone the way they'd hoped. And I'm just doing all I can to love and to pray. But I know that they're not going to come into full health as a person until that isolation thing is broken. You've got to connect with people somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? So the warning is this. We're going to teach on it, but if you have in your heart, like we have, let's move forward, let's extend the kingdom. I met with John Miller this week, who's a local pastor, my friend, and we talk all the time about Staines and the passion we have to see people, just this whole part of England, just this whole region, people to get saved. And I know, because I spoke to him, that not every pastor by any means thinks like that. But as soon as you start to think like that, the devil hears that. So we got to be ready. Are you okay? You all right with that? So let's go through this. Here we go. Ephesians 6:18. Therefore put on a new set of clothes, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, so the day of evil is going to come. It's going to come. But when it comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then. And here we go into the armor itself. I reckon there's seven pieces. Most people think there's six, but my theory, I just think God likes the number seven. So I stuck in an extra one. It's a saucepan. Stand there with, number one, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness in place. Number three, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Number four, in addition, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Number five, take the helmet of salvation. Number six, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And number seven, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. And we're going to, I think I've got some pictures. There's the Roman soldier. He's just kind of a made up one. Just a play one. But it gives you an idea of what these guys look like. A helmet. The shield of faith that they're referring to in the Greek is that one. It's a large square shield. I'll show you a picture later that kind of helps you with that. The breastplate is behind the shield, obviously. The dagger, the sword, is normally that kind of length, and it was primarily to stab people. And the belt of truth is in the middle, holding everything together. So let's have a look at these again. We're going to get through as many as we can. My guess is we'll get through about probably half of them if we can. And then we will pick them up and finish off. Because these are all important and I want to help you understand what they are. Number one, the belt of truth round your waist. Or as the NASB says, girded your loins. Now your loins is the reproductive area. So girding or protecting. Truth has a lot of importance in protecting what you reproduce out of your life. But in terms of armor, let's look at it this way. I want you to understand this, that the armor itself is truth. It functions like a belt, but truth is a piece of armor. What kind of truth is that? Well, there's a couple of kinds of truth, but the first truth is the truth that's in his word. Now, I'll show you a picture of this belt. I've got a picture down here. There it is. So it's fairly ornate. It's fairly large. And even though it's not particularly visible, unlike the breastplate, it holds everything together. I mean, some of us here may be... I did a funeral. I do funerals sometimes. I did a funeral for a guy once, not that long ago. And he got older and he was kind of not quite as sharp as he used to be. And towards the end of his life, because I try and get to know about the person that we're celebrating, you know. And towards the end of his life, he'd gone out to the shops. He had gone to the hospital. And he'd just completely forgotten his belt. And he's there in hospital and his trousers just fell completely down. Thankfully, he had some pants underneath. So that was a good thing. But it's embarrassing when the belt doesn't hold. And it affects, in the case of armour, it's actually connected to all the other bits. So the sword comes off that, there's a connection to the breastplate. So what you've got to understand is that truth is the central point that holds everything together. Truth is. It functions like a belt, but it is actually truth that is the piece of armour. The first truth is in his word. Once you start to believe things that are at variance with what God said, then you're losing truth as the center of your life. Can you hear what I'm saying? Really, really important to understand that. This is the truth of God. Now, you can read through it like I would and have done for years and studied and whatever, and there are still parts you don't understand. There are also parts that the Holy Spirit will particularly enlighten and God will speak to you about something that may not be the context of what it was written in. That's fine. And then also you'll be in a house, you'll be in a church, you'll have overseers, pastors, preachers, teachers, whatever, that will help bring understanding of that truth to you because that's what they're called and anointed to do. Some of them do that because they've just been around longer and so they've learned some things over time. Others do that because that's their divine gifting, their divine calling, and they're enabled to do that by God. Jesus was like that when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's called me to preach good news." That was the first thing he was called to do, to preach, to speak. So for all the miracles and all the wonderful things he did, which he did, preaching and teaching the truth was absolutely at the core of Jesus' ministry. And so this truth, the truth of the Word of God, you can't afford to move away from that. What a person speaks, if you're dealing with an honest person, and I'd like to think I'm a pretty honest person, then what they say is going to be consistent with who they are in their character. And you can tell a lot about a person just by what they say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But if a person's committed to truth, and God is certainly a true God, then everything he said, he's faithful to, and it's a reflection of who he is as a person. This is God's word to us. And the belt that we have to hold is that we're committed to truth. Sometimes truth is uncomfortable. I would say probably in my life, maybe more often the truth is uncomfortable than comfortable. In terms of, you read the Bible and it says, forgive your enemies. And you might say, well, how am I going to forgive that person? Now that's just unreasonable. Well, if God said you should do it, then number one, you definitely have the capacity to do it. Because he would never ask you to do something you couldn't do. That would be unjust. So he's not like that. But it's just that you haven't discovered yet how to do that. And that's not a bad place to be in. That's kind of the, you know, prayer 101. Help, you know, help me. And that's a good place to be in. But what people sometimes do is they default and they say, well, I can't figure that out. I can't see how that could happen. And really, it is that they won't let their heart go there. So when Jesus talks about believing, he says people will not believe, not that they cannot believe. And there's a decision of your heart that says, well, whatever it takes, if that's what the truth is, that's what I'm going to live with. And that is having the armor on. Truth also applies in terms of the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth, and that He will reveal to you certain things. It's a whole issue. It's a whole, you know, thing in itself to talk about those areas. But it's important to note that the Holy Spirit will never guide you contrary to what the Scripture says. So I've had friends, I've got a friend now, well, I haven't had much contact for a long time, sadly, and he's my age, a couple of years younger than me, been in ministry, same time as me, 25 years, and just recently left his wife. And I remember him from Australia, where we had grown up together, and we were both young ministers together, and he had gone through what happens to people. He had gone through a stage where the same wife that he just left, and the boys, he had got frustrated with her, which happens, by the way. Anyone ever been frustrated? If you're not frustrated, you're not married, or you're not honest, one or the other. So you get frustrated. Everything doesn't work out right. But the catch is, which is what happened in this guy's case, is they start to believe, and you'll hear this kind of thing, they start to believe, well, God's leading me. I think, here's some common ones. You know, I just felt like I was doing the wrong thing when I was walking down the aisle. There's one. Or somehow God is, this other person has appeared, which is usually what happens. And God is leading me. The Holy Spirit is leading me because my ministry will work better if I'm connected with that person than this person. And all kinds of pseudo-spiritual, pseudo-right reasons. But the truth is, you make a commitment, you stick with it. Now, there are all kinds of situations that go on in life. I've been through a marital breakdown, and many of us have, and so I can help you with that. I can, you know, it's not something that I enjoyed by any means. It's not something that I could do very much about, though I tried. But the truth is that life happens to all of us. It takes two to tango. We'll talk about it next week. Will we do some tangoing next week, Caroline? And we'll have to practice. I'll hold you to that. So Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie. What's that? Oh, Scent of a Woman. Has anyone ever seen that? Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't have seen that. You shouldn't be watching that. No. It was, yeah. And anyway, so, you know, it takes two to tango and stuff happens, but it's when you start to believe what's not in Scripture that you're in trouble. The Holy Spirit led me, really, to somebody else. But you made a commitment, and you said for better, for worse. Here's the great value of marriage, you see. We live in a world where that's not so necessarily popular. And I understand why, because the generation that's grown up has just seen a lot of broken marriages. Who can blame them? It's time we modeled healthy, and then they come to the church, and they find that the church is, oh, you've been divorced, you're out of ministry. Like, hello? You know Yong Yi Cho? How many heard of Yong Yi Cho? I don't know. I might have told you this story before. He pastors about 750,000 people in Seoul. It's the biggest. It's called Yoido Full Gospel Church. Biggest church that we know of that's ever existed on earth. He's a Korean man. And he has a staff. I think he has 8,000 associate ministers, 7,000 secretaries, and about 20,000 pastors. That's just ridiculous. And never seen anything like it. But he, of course, works closely now with these associate ministers and people, because he came and did a conference for where I was at in Australia, and one of his relatives lives in America. And they were just talking around the table, and without saying anything too unnecessary, but a significant percentage of ministers that were under his care over the years had fallen into some kind of adultery, some kind of sinful behavior, wrong behavior. But rather than boot them out and get rid of them because you've committed some apparently unpardonable sin, what he would do, and what is generally wiser to do, because you've got to take it case by case, is to work with the people and the problem, find out what the problem is, and try and restore them back to a healthy marriage. Now, you've got to have a healthy relationship if you're going to be in ministry, obviously. There's no question about that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we don't think, we stick with rules rather than relationship. People are precious. Just because someone did the wrong thing relationally, which is a problem and you have to work through it, doesn't mean that you should take up your right to divorce them biblically because now you're allowed to. It's highly likely that the best solution is to make it work somehow. If you'll be humble enough to let somebody else come in and speak to you and say, you know, when you say that to your wife, you need to adjust that. You know, when you have this habit, you know, ma'am, when you do this, this is what's aggravating him. And all you need to do is start to see some movement on either side towards changing behavior because of love for the other person, and you can rebuild. And generally speaking, what's rebuilt, that's true medically too, what's rebuilt is stronger than what it was in the first place. So I don't know how we got onto that, because that's really for next week, but there you go. Don't move away from the truth of the scripture. Let's go to the second piece of armor here, and we'll get through this. So truth, righteousness. Now this is important. There's a breastplate of righteousness, right? These things were really shiny. And righteousness just means right standing with God, rightness, trueness. I think that what Paul wrote to the Colossians is really helpful, where he said the breastplate of love and faith. Because for us to live in righteousness, ultimately we live by love and faith. They're actually the cornerstones of it. There's two sides to this I want you to see. And if you've got a Bible, which would be good, have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you do that for me? I'm going to read it as well, but if you've got one, it won't hurt you. In fact, I would suggest you'd be like John Wesley and be a man or a woman of one book. That's what he used to say. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to start in about verse 17. Righteousness, that everything is perfectly right with God. That's a breastplate when you're righteous. Most Christians don't think they're righteous. And then they're walking around without a breastplate. Because the devil whispered and said, you're not that righteous, you did this. See how he mentioned that divorce thing? You know, you got divorced years ago and it was your fault, wasn't it, really? How can you... And all that... No. Truth, I'm the righteousness of God. Let's have a look at this, though. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, new species. All the old's gone, the new is here. Somebody say yes. The old's gone. It's a new day. All this is from God, who reconciled us or made friends between us, himself, and us and himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I have to stop myself preaching here. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Hello, big note. And he committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. That's who you are. Everyone say, I'm Jesus's representative. I'm Jesus' representative. As though God were making his appeal. Yeah, say that. Making his appeal through me. I implore people on Christ's behalf. Be friends with God. That's witnessing. That's ministry. That's what we do. And then in verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Just as righteous as God is. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus carried our sin. He didn't have sin. And all the sin of the world was translated. You say, well, how did that happen? That's a spiritual thing. I can't really explain that. I can trust God, though. But what happened, that's the Bible testimony, is that he carried... There are a lot of other things that supported that, the raising of people out of the ground at the point of his death and all those kinds of things. But the point is that the Bible teaches us that his sin, our sin was put on him, our missing it, our missing the mark was put on him. And he carried it away so that we don't have to carry it anymore. It's a transfer. It's like the song says, a beautiful exchange. He took away your junk and he put in beauty. But if you keep thinking of yourself as junk, then you're really denying the work that he did. And that's where a lot of Christians get caught, because they think it's humble to treat themselves like junk, to say I'm dirty, to say I'm not very righteous, oh, I'm so unworthy. You are worthy enough for God to send his son to die for you. That rate's pretty high. You're not worthy in your own great works. You're worthy because he loves you so much and he made you worthy. But some people will say like this, well, I'm just a sinner, you know, saved by grace. Well, make up your mind. Are you a sinner or are you saved by grace? They're two different things. I'm not a sinner anymore. We're not sinners anymore. We're not people who miss the mark anymore. Sure, you may miss it from time to time. That's pretty human. But the norm for your life is to walk at peace with God, in righteousness with God, without missing it. That's the norm. Missing it is just the odd occasional thing that happens from time to time. And you've got to see yourself the right way. So the righteousness of God becomes ours. And then because he took our sin, we are made, that's what it says there, we become the righteousness of God. In an instant, we didn't do anything. All we had to do was accept what he did, believe what he did. And when you do that, you've got a breastplate on. Now, let me make one other point here. And we're running out of time, aren't we, on this? But it's helpful. Is it helping you? The other thing we've got to remember is that your righteousness is also walked out. So, in other words, you can receive Jesus and you become the righteousness of God. But then, as a new person, God expects you to walk out this new life. So Jesus talks about that a fruit, that whatever the fruit is born on the tree tells you what the tree is. So if we're saying we're a Christian, we've been born again, we're new people, but our life is not bearing any fruit, and 2 years down the line, we're living the same way we were, you're going to have trouble standing in your righteousness because you have it legally, but you're not walking it out in reality. The two need to go hand in hand. Can you see what I'm saying? And that's where love and faith comes in, where he said to the Colossians, the breastplate of love and faith. See, love and faith is the heartbeat of the whole gospel. When you love God, you love people, and you keep trusting God, that's righteous living. You might say the wrong thing to somebody, which has happened, but if your heart is a heart of love, then that's what's important. Now, if I've said something and it's offended somebody, if it came from a heart of love, that's what's important to God. It still means, though, we may need to have a brief discussion. And if you've got two people that both have a heart of love, then reconciliation will be easy. Really? If you've both got a heart that says, hey, I'm actually walking like Jesus, I just want to love you. Did I offend you? If you love somebody and you said something that offended them, then straight away you would say, well, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant. And if you're the other person and you've got a heart of love towards them and they said something that offended you and then they say, well, they're sorry, then you would say, well, that makes sense. You know, they wouldn't walk that way, and so we're over it like that. When we walk in love and faith. Faith, just keep your trust in God. All the promises of God belong to you as long as you hold on to your faith. So righteousness primarily is a gift that comes to us through Jesus Christ, but it's also something we walk out in by love and faith, not by good works, not by, I've served the church, I've turned up early for 15 years in a row and all that kind of stuff. That's great, you should serve, but you should serve gladly. Because sometimes it's like, because that's great, but it's not earning you anything. You get a reward, do you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't earn you righteousness. You're just righteous the way it is. Brian Houston used to say this back in Australia. He would say, serve the Lord with gladness, and if you're not, don't bother. And it's true. You know, do it. What a great way to spend your life serving God. Why else would you do it? What are you going to do? Go home and watch a rerun of some old movie? Saddle a woman. When you can be serving God. I mean, you've got to keep your life balanced. You've got to have some fun at some point. England were a little lucky to hang on to the rugby yesterday, I think, weren't they? Just a little. Maybe. Scotland won. Yeah, it looks exciting. I've got to admit, I was cheering for the Scots there. I like the way they're playing at the moment. I'm Australian, I can go for anybody I want at any time and just have terrible attitudes about it, and you know. No, we're okay. We're good. But anyway, see, you've got to have a life, you've got to have some fun, but you've got to realise that You're the righteousness of God that's in Christ. I'm going to wrap up in just a minute. I'm going to touch on this peace one. And then we'll go from there. Peace. Peace is the way you walk. It's the feet that are shod. Have a look at them. Typical shoes. Some of those shoes had spikes on them, the Roman soldiers, but most of them were able to, they were just good to walk with. And your feet are shod, covered with the gospel of peace. Everywhere you go, in other words, for a soldier, your shoes are what enable you to move forward. They enable you to not get stuck in the spot. Righteousness protects you from stuff that comes against you. The helmet we'll talk about the week after next. The shield of faith, fantastic. Fantastic. I'll show you the pictures of the shield of faith and get you all excited about next time. That's the shields of faith. I don't know if you can see the little people in between the thingers, but that's how they would do it. The shields would all join together like that. That's nothing at all. That's just the end of the slideshow. And have I lost it? There we go. But those shoes, it's the gospel of peace. Everywhere we go, we walk, we bring peace. Peace with God. We have peace with God. And we walk in a way that promotes peace with people. I want to close on this thought. There are so many things. We could spend a whole year of Bible college on this subject. But let me say this, and I'll just get Ian to come on the guitar if you could, mate, and then we'll close off. But this armor, how do you put this armor on? Have you ever thought that? Because I've heard lots of things, read lots of books. And in my experience, the vast majority of people don't really know. Some people that get excited about this will put it on, like pretending to put it on in the morning. You know, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm taking up my shield of faith, I'm putting my sword of the Spirit, I'm putting on my breastplate, putting on my helmet, you know. And that may help you kind of visualize it, but that's actually not putting armor on. Nothing really changed there. What putting armor on, and you want to get this, is you've got to understand it and you've got to walk in it. You've got to act on it. That's what putting armor is on. Understand that you're righteous. You can stand there in the morning and pray. You can confess. Confession is a great truth. But you can't confess a close relationship with God. You're going to have to put time in to get that. Some things you just can't say it and it happens. Some things you can, some things you can't. We have to grow in these things. We can't just find one little truth and just think it's going to change our heart. No. And confessing, you can't just confess and say, well, by faith I've got the helmet of salvation on. By faith, I've got the breastplate of righteousness. Well, you either understand what righteousness is or you don't. And you either walk in it or you don't. So you've got to understand what it is. I'm the righteousness of God. And you've got to walk in it. So when all the accusations come, this is spiritual warfare. This is putting on the armor. The accusations come. You get to work late. You're always late. You know you're not always late, but that person's got a problem with you and it starts to get under your skin. You've got to realize, you've got to not let things get under your skin. You're the righteousness of God. You've got to love. You've got to keep walking in love. You've got to walk in peace. These people are just really irritating me. And every time you walk in this office or every time you see this person on the tube, or every time you go home, you're irritated with this person. No, you're not now, you can confess all you like, but you are not walking in armor. You've let the peace shoes come off. Keep walking in the peace shoes. Keep walking in the righteousness breastplate. Keep the belt of truth. Oh, it could be uncomfortable at times, but you don't want your trousers falling down in battle. Keep the belt of truth. This is the truth. This is what it is. I said I'd marry you for better, for worse. Some days it may well feel like it's for worse, but that's what you said. Stick with your truth. Stick with your confession. And if you need help, find help. Are you with me? That's how you put armor on. Amen. We're going to close right now. Holy Spirit's here. Just turn your eyes towards heaven. Father, we want to thank you so much. We want to thank you so much because you are good. What a blessed country. What a blessed, wonderful time to be alive when you are awakening people to you. Father, my heart's prayer for our people here is that you speak to them every day, that you visit them, that the supernatural, the miraculous, the wonderful, the great and close walk with Jesus Christ to become their experience. And that, Father, in this week, you give them opportunities and help all of us to see how we can walk better in the armor of God, knowing we're righteous, walking always in peace, always holding the truth at the core of our being, putting up a shield of faith, which simply means to keep trusting you when arrows that tell you we shouldn't trust you come flying at us. Father, guide us and prepare us that we might be that awesome, happy, strong, blessed, effective, magnificent people of God, so that we can bring this good news, this wonderful relationship with God, to anyone and everyone in our worlds. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to ask you to keep your eyes closed.